Thank you very much. It's lovely to join with you again this morning in worship, and it's good to see everyone, even in these very difficult and strange times. So a very warm welcome indeed. The psalmist said, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." We have a wonderful Savior, so let us join now in praise as we sing our opening praise. Praise the Lord of our salvation. Now let us unite together in prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious God, it is indeed the joy of your people to meet together to worship you, our God, the one true God. We rejoice indeed that you are the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we come today to worship you, to give you all the praise of our hearts. Lord, we do thank you indeed for the way that you've guided and blessed us. We know that we are a privileged people because you have shown to us so clearly and given to us so much so richly to enjoy. Lord, we pray that we might never take for granted all that you have given to us. We might never take for granted, Lord, even the opportunity to meet like this in these difficult times, to meet and worship, to lift up our voices together in praise and thankfulness. Lord, we realize that you have blessed us even this past week, and we praise you. Thank you for keeping us safe wherever we have been. And thank you, Lord, for your great love and your goodness to us in our different homes and wherever we have been. We worship you. But Lord, we pray that we might indeed realize as we come here today that the greatest delight of our hearts should be to give you the praise because of what you have done for us in Jesus. To lift up our hearts and rejoice in knowing that the Lord Jesus came to seek and to save people like us. Knowing that He came with that special purpose to die on Calvary's cross, that all who come unto Him would be forgiven. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus. And we do pray, Lord, today that You would help us to worship as we ought, that our great Lord, that we might not be careless in worship, we might not be careless in the things that we do, but that as we meet together here and then as we go from this house, our desire would be to give You the praise and the honor throughout this day and indeed every day. Lord, forgive us for those times whenever we have turned our own way. Forgive us for those times whenever we have loved the things that You have given to us more than the giver. Forgive us, Lord, for those times whenever we have said things or done things that we ought not to have said or done. Lord, we come to You and we rejoice indeed if we confess our sin, that You are faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we come with hearts filled with wonder, hearts filled with joy. And as we turn to Your word, we pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would so come and move in our midst, and every one of us would be conscious that, Lord, You are here, that You're speaking to us. You're showing to us more of how we ought to reflect Your glory, showing to us more of this great salvation. And even today, speaking to some, perhaps, who yet have never opened their hearts and trusted in the Lord Jesus, that they might come to know and to love Him. And so we pray, Lord, that as we turn to Your word, as we continue to sing Your praise, that our hearts would indeed be filled with wonder and adoration as we worship You. So bless us now in all that we do, not only us, Lord, but all You who are gathered throughout our land, all who are lifting up the name of Jesus. May His name be exalted. May Your people be blessed. May we rejoice in all Your love this day and always. In His name we pray. Amen. Now let us read together from Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, a very familiar passage. We're reading from verse 1. Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen, and God will bless to us this reading from His word today. Well, boys and girls, lovely to see some boys and girls, and others I know will be watching. I wonder, any of the boys and girls, do you like shopping? Anybody like shopping? Oh, somebody, yes. No, that's good. I'm not very good at shopping. I try not to go near shops, but sometimes I have to. But, you know, the thing that bothers me about shopping is sometimes things are brought home, and then you hear this
I'm going to have to take that back. And you think to yourself, you're just home with it, like, and now you're going to have to take it back. Like, well, why do you want to take it back? Well, you see, maybe it doesn't fit, really. That's part of it. But maybe your daddy sometimes would have to say that because he brought something home and it, whenever he looked at it properly, it was broken. It didn't work. And you say, I have to take that back to the garage, or I'll have to take that back to where I got it from. And there are all sorts of things that you have to take back. I have a book with me now. There's no pictures in it, boys and girls. It's all about Daniel. I've had it a long time, but the trouble is with this book, whenever I bought it years and years and years ago, I didn't sit down to read it right through. It's not the sort of book you read from start to finish. Maybe when you get a book, you would start at the first page and you'd read right through to the last page, wouldn't you? Well, this is not that sort of a book. But it's a good, you know, it's all here. It's all the pages here. Look, it's all writing. You see, it's all writing. And you're reading down, and then the trouble is, whenever you turn over at a certain point, look what you get. Two blank pages. That's not much use. You're supposed to fill those in yourself or draw pictures on them. Well, then, it's not so bad, we're back again. Here's the writing again, so it is. But then we turn over again, and look. And so it goes on. It goes on for quite a while. We're back again. I can find out now what's happening. But look, what sort of a book is that? A good lot of the pages are blank. And all the writing that should be in here is missing. And keep going, look, and keeps going, and then, there's another. You wouldn't want to read a book like that too much. You wouldn't. Well, you see, I should have taken that book back. But then I had it for a long time before I discovered that. I didn't read it, you see. I didn't get start using it. It's all about Daniel. Can any of the boys and girls tell me something about Daniel? Daniel and in the... Where was he put? He was put into the lion's den, wasn't he? But of course, God looked after him and protected him in the lion's den. But the thing is, it made me think, boys and girls, that we have to take things back, and we should have taken that back and got a new one, got a proper book. But we need to take ourselves back to Jesus, don't we? That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He wants us to come to him. Why? Because whenever we come to him, whenever we put our trust in him, then of course he comes into our hearts, and he is the one that we love, and he is our Savior. And he changes us, and he helps us to walk in his way. That's the whole thing. So, in a sense, you see, if your daddy got a car and the door handle fell off, he would take it back to the people who made it, and they would fix it. Well, we need to take ourselves back, don't we? Take ourselves back to God. And God, of course, sending his Son to seek and to save and to change us, that we would be the type of people he wants us to be. So, boys and girls, whenever you're out shopping and maybe you bring something home and you hear those words again, I'll have to take that back. Will you remember? We need to take ourselves and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to make us new people, and that we would walk with him and follow him all the days of our lives. So I'm afraid I'm stuck with my book about Daniel. I don't think I'll be able to. I should fill it in myself, shouldn't I? I should write the bits in between, but I've never got round to that yet either. But if anybody wants to see it, it's here. Now we're going to sing our our hymn together. It's Lord, Your Word Shall Guide Us. Thank you.
let us unite again in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you again for the wonderful message of salvation. We thank you for those in years gone by who taught us, indeed, in Sunday school in past years, and those who teach still. We pray that you would bless all those who guide and teach the young people in this congregation, and every home where there are children, that the parents might be diligent in this, seeking to guide the young people and to bring them up in the way of truth and righteousness. Oh, we pray for our day school teachers as well, asking that they might have the help and the strength that they need, and that they too would have opportunities to make clear the wonderful message of Jesus and his love. Lord, we do remember, Lord, those older young people, those who are doing their maybe O-levels and A-levels, and some perhaps have gone to university. Lord, we ask that you would be near to them and bless them, especially any who would be away from home at this time, that they would seek companions amongst your people, and that they would indeed, in whatever university they're with, that they would be attentive, Lord, to your house in the different town or city. Do bless them, Lord, and we pray that you would keep them safe, and that they would not be led astray by the ways of men and women who would seek to lead young people and astray. Lord, we do long and we do pray that they would be kept safe in these days. Lord, we remember the work in this congregation. Do bless, Lord, the preaching of your word week by week. Bless the one who's been called to do so, and be near to him and help him in all the work that he has to do. And the vacancy, Lord, as well, that he might have the help and the strength even to cope with all these different tasks. And we ask, Lord, that as the winter comes in, that we might be able to meet together, that you give us wisdom, Lord, the young people's work and so on, that it might be able to meet together, and that young people would be blessed and strengthened once again as they meet together to learn of you. And Lord, we do remember those who are elderly today. There are those who are not able to get. Those who would unfaithfully hear years gone by. Lord, they're now perhaps so frail or ill at home or in hospital. Lord, surround them with your love. May they know your peace and your blessing. And may they know indeed that you never leave nor forsake all who love you. And Lord, we remember our land at this time with all its need. We realize that there's still so many tensions. There's still so much conflict, even perhaps not so much physical conflict, but there's so much conflict between peoples. And Lord, we ask that indeed that you would pour out your spirit upon this land of ours. Lord, we long that we might see a true revival. We long that we might see, Lord, a quickening in this land. And instead of men and women just looking for the things of this world, that their desire would be for your house and to sing your praise. To be able to say with one of the Psalms, I joyed when to the house of God. Go up, they said to me. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Pour out your spirit upon us and cause the hearts of young and old to be melted under the work of your Holy Spirit, and that there would be a turning in these days to the Savior. So bless us, Lord. Bless, Lord, throughout our land. Bless the preaching of your word, we pray. Be with us in all that we do, for we ask this all in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen.
I want us this morning to look at these very familiar verses in Luke chapter 19, verses I'm sure we all know so well. But I want to start by something that I heard a goodly number of years ago now. I was listening to the radio one day, and I heard Nigel Lawson. Now, for some of the younger people, maybe you don't know who Nigel Lawson is, or was, or is. Well, he used to be the Chancellor of the Exchequer during Mrs. Thatcher's day. Now, that's going back a bit, but he was high up in government for a long time. And he was on the radio, and he said this. He said, "Human nature cannot be changed. Men are the same today as they were years ago. There is no progress in human nature. There's no progress in human nature. Men cannot be changed." But is that right? Whenever you turn to the Bible, what does that say about men and men being changed? What did the Lord Jesus come to do? We need to be absolutely convinced in these days. What did the Lord Jesus come to do? Well, we have the answer in many different places in the Scripture. In Luke 10, we have it, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. Mary, whenever Jesus was born as a baby, said, "I was told you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins." The Lord Jesus came to save. Paul said in 1 Timothy, "Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." We need to be absolutely clear what the Lord Jesus came to do. And I want us to think about that this morning here in these very familiar verses. Verses that we learned, I'm sure, in Sunday school in years gone by. It shows so clearly how the Lord Jesus did this work. He met Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus was saved. So let's think then about this story once again. I know we all know it, but let's concentrate on it. First of all, who was Zacchaeus? Well, he wasn't a very desirable character. He was a tax collector, we're told. He was chief among the publicans. His work involved collecting money for the Romans, and Zacchaeus, of course, would have done that, but he lined his own pockets. He couldn't have got so rich. He was very rich, we're told, without doing that. So whenever we hear today about corruption and high places, well, there was plenty of corruption years ago. Zacchaeus was involved in corruption. But he was one of the most hated and despised men in Jericho. And I'm sure the people didn't want to see Zacchaeus. Here's the man coming wanting money, and he's wanting more money than taking more money than he should. I'm sure they would have been glad to have been rid of him. If he had died, they'd have been happy that had happened. But you see, the name Zacchaeus, and this is the thing, the name Zacchaeus means the exact opposite of this man's character. The name means true. If someone is called Zacchaeus, then they should be true. Someone who bore this name would be true and honest. That's what was intended. And Zacchaeus should have been like that. He should have been like the righteous one. Instead of being dishonest and despised and in his own people. Whenever you think about that, why did Zacchaeus' parents give him that name? The name meant pure. The name meant righteous one. Well, they must have been thinking, now, we would want him to grow up to be righteous. We would want him to grow up to be true. We would want him to grow up to be honest. But he didn't. He didn't. What a heartbreak whenever children grow up and they turn away from the ways of their parents, and they turn away and they turn into the things of this world, and they get involved in things that are evil and wrong. And what a heartbreak for parents.
To be able to have to sit with parents and listen to what their son has done, perhaps. Oh, it's so sad. I remember years ago on the Shankill Road at the heart of the height of the trouble, having to go to see this family, and the grandmother and the mother was there, and the young man had got into serious trouble. And you listen to that grandmother, and it was nearly all tears. They were brokenhearted, because they didn't bring him up that way. They didn't bring him up to get involved with the UVF and guns and all this sort of thing, but he did. And how sad it is whenever a son or a daughter goes off like the prodigal son. No thought of God, no desire for God's way. I want my way. That's all you young people. I want my way. You're out of touch, Granda. You're out of touch, Mum and Dad. I want my way. This was Zacchaeus, you see. He grew up to have his way. His parents intended him. They called him Zacchaeus because they wanted him to be honest. But he certainly wasn't. And so I would say to young men and young women today, are you living not just as your parents would desire, but are you living in God's way? Is it your desire to walk in His way? That is the important thing. The important thing. Zacchaeus was an evil man. But then I want you to notice, secondly, what he did. And we all know what he did, of course, in verse 4. We're told that he wanted to see Jesus, and he ran ahead and climbed up this sycamore fig tree. Well, he was so small, he couldn't see over the crowd. You can imagine the crowds, remember, along the side of the road. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he was passing through Jericho. And Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but he couldn't. Now, why did he want to see him? That's the thing. Why would a man with all this money and all this influence want to see a wandering preacher? Why? Was he just curious? Curious to see? Why would people want to be so interested in Jesus? Was he just thinking to himself, I must go to see this man that everybody's talking about? I want to see him. But it seems to be nearly more than that. There certainly would be curiosity involved. But he ran. And then he couldn't see over the people, so he climbs up a tree. Well, you wouldn't expect a man like that to climb up a tree. Yes, it wouldn't be the dumb thing, would it? A rich man climbing a tree to see a wandering preacher? Normally, Zacchaeus could have sent for whoever he liked, couldn't he? He could have said, look, I want to see you. You come and see me tomorrow. He would have that sort of influence in the community. But now he has to make that effort himself. He wanted to see Jesus. But did he want anything more? That's the question that's been debated. Did he simply want to have a look? It looks as if he was wanting more than that. More than that. He wanted to see. He was setting aside his pride. He was climbing a tree just to see Jesus. You know, you can throw the door open sometimes. You would throw it open all week and some people wouldn't come through the door. But this man wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. You wonder what the people thought. The people who saw him, like they were standing looking, he's rolling down behind us, he's climbing a tree now. What sort of a... How foolish. But that was the beginning, you see, of the most wonderful day in his life. You know what, I think we should look out and pray for that. Pray for that. Little things. Maybe somebody hasn't come to meeting for years and you've been speaking to them and you've been trying to influence them, and then one day out of the blue they just simply say,
I think I'll go to meeting next Sunday. You wonder, why now? But how wonderful it is that something like that would take place. Or somebody else begins to open the Bible and to read it and look at the scriptures. And what does this mean? Could you explain this to me? Just little things. Beginning to, God, the Holy Spirit, beginning to work in their hearts and in their lives. Zacchaeus wanted to see. He was a rich man, a hated man, a small man. But it was the beginning, you see, the beginning. The beginning of what would be a day of transformation for him. And that's what we need to pray. To pray for interest in those who still are outside of the kingdom. Pray that they will begin to see and they will leave aside their pride and they'll seek the Savior. But then notice thirdly what happened. Verse 5, we see the love of the Lord Jesus. The love of the Lord Jesus. Whenever Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Stay at your house today. Now this is so wonderful that, you know, he speaks to Zacchaeus. Why? Why? He's walking along the road and this man's up a tree. There's hundreds of people. There must have been hundreds of people. So many that Zacchaeus couldn't even see over them. And yet he stops and he looks up at this man. He looks up at this man. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save. You see, salvation is not of works but of grace. And grace is free. That's the thing. Grace is free. God's grace means reaching out to those who didn't deserve it. And Zacchaeus met the Lord Jesus that day at the sycamore tree. God in his matchless grace was reaching out to a man who didn't deserve it. I want you to notice a number of things about this. First of all, the Lord Jesus, of course, didn't need to stop, did he? He didn't need to stop. Why should the Savior? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on his way to die. He knows that he's going to be put to death. Why should he stop for Zacchaeus? After all, as well, Zacchaeus was one of the most despised people in the city of Jericho. And you think of the hundreds of other people that would have been about, the crowd that he couldn't see over. There must have been people far, far better, if you want to look at it like that, far, far better than he was. Why not go to tea with them? Why not go to tea with some upright person? So why should he stop? Well, Zacchaeus didn't ask him to stop, did he? He didn't cry out like blind Bartimaeus, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And nothing like that. He didn't cry out. And there had been such a crowd. All these others wanted to see Jesus too. Zacchaeus didn't ask him to stop. But the Lord Jesus stopped. That's what's so wonderful, isn't it? It's so wonderful. This was his work. This is what he came to do. This is what we need to always remember. What did Jesus come to do? He came to seek and to save. This is the wonder of salvation. Yes, the Bible tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near in Isaiah 55. But what is equally important to grasp is this. The Lord Jesus is seeking. He desires to save. This is his work. Yes, whenever the gospel is preached, men and women must be urged to seek the Savior. But understand that God by His Spirit works in the hearts of men and women. And the Lord Jesus is seeking, seeking, seeking. That's the wonder of salvation. What a joy it is to know that Jesus came to save. He stopped beside a man who didn't deserve even a sideways look and he spoke to him. He spoke to him. You know, I look back now well over 40 years preaching, and I think to myself, and I'm sure I must be getting near to the end. I'll have to stop. The age is getting, but I think, look, it's all about Jesus. For 40 years I've been telling people about Jesus, and I'm not going to stop telling people about Jesus. I'm not going to stop telling people that they need to be saved. Because we do. All of us. And Zacchaeus needed a Savior. And Jesus stopped, spoke to him. He stopped and spoke to him. Oh, perhaps this morning there's someone, and maybe you say, look, the Lord Jesus has been speaking to me. Maybe you say, he stopped beside me this morning. What do you mean he stopped beside me? The Holy Spirit is speaking to you about your sin, speaking to you about your need of a Savior. And maybe you say, I didn't ask him to stop. I know you didn't ask him to stop, but Jesus came to save. Zacchaeus didn't ask him to stop, but Jesus came to save. He came to save a person like Zacchaeus, who didn't deserve it. And who among us deserve it? Who ever deserved it? And he desires to save. And if you're without Christ this morning, you need to be saved. Whenever you think of it, what is your hope for heaven? You haven't got any if you haven't got Christ. You haven't got any. The Lord Jesus stopped and he desires to see you. Do you remember how Jesus, in the book of Revelation, we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him." That's what was happening, you see, with Zacchaeus. Jesus had stopped and was looking up to a man who didn't deserve it. And he was calling him. Isaac Watts wrote that great hymn, "'Tis not by works of righteousness which our own hands have done, but we are saved by sovereign grace, abounding through the Son, abounding through the Son." Jesus stopped and looked up at a man who everybody in Jericho would have said, "Now, if there's a sinner in Jericho, there's one. There's one." And Jesus looked up to him and said, "Come down." That's what he said. As we read on in verse 5, the Lord Jesus spoke to Zacchaeus. "Make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house." Verse 5. He invites himself to Zacchaeus' house, into his very life. That's what really was happening. He invited himself into his life. And that's what happens when the Lord Jesus stops, you see. Things will be different. The Lord Jesus had taken over. The Lord Jesus had taken over. You know, we wouldn't do that, or at least I don't think we would do that. I imagine if I was to come and look down, "Oh, there's a cup of tea, I'll invite myself into your house." Or, "No, I'll invite myself into your..." You wouldn't do that. We wouldn't do that. We wait to be asked. But he came, Jesus came, and he invites himself in. He said to Zacchaeus, "Come down, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to go to your house." And why is that? Why does that happen? Well, you see, the Lord Jesus came, and what we don't by nature have any desire for him. Whenever we're without Christ, then the evil one dwells within us. And he's not going to invite the Lord Jesus in. But the wonderful thing is, Jesus is stronger than Satan. And whenever Jesus comes and he invites himself in, he comes in and Satan goes out. And the Lord Jesus takes control.
That's why the Apostle Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away and all things become new. That's what happened, you see. We can't do it by our own strength. Salvation is not something we can do by ourselves. It has to be He has to do it. It's His sovereign grace. His sovereign grace. He must invite Himself in. And the devil, who by nature reigns in our hearts, has to be driven out. And Jesus enters and saves His people. Oh, the hymn writer put it, today the Savior calls, oh, hear Him now, within these sacred walls to Jesus bow. The Lord Jesus stopped and He invited Himself into Zacchaeus' home, and surely that's what the Savior still desires. Oh, that men and women around our land would come to know Christ, would come to know the Savior. That they would open their hearts to Him. This is what He came to do, you see. Jesus came to save. He didn't just come to sort of help you to turn over a new leaf. He came to save. He came to that your hearts might be, our hearts would be changed completely, and that we would come to know and to love and to rejoice in Him always. He's inviting Himself in. Will someone open the door today? He's inviting Himself in. If any man hear my voice and open the door, He says. But then look, lastly, we see the change in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, of course, heard the words that were spoken, come down. And he came down, and it tells us he joyfully received the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful difference, you see, salvation makes. Here was an outcast. Here was one who was despised in the town, but he was wonderfully saved. Jesus said, rejoice with me, for I've found the sheep that is lost. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And this man was never the same again. Well, let's understand that. Whenever we come to the Savior, then things are different. Things are changed. There is that new creation. And if you're a Christian, then it should be your desire to walk every day showing forth the loveliness of Jesus. Seeking with all your heart to show others the beauty of Jesus. To show in the things that you do. To show in the contacts that you make and the things that you say, that show the loveliness of Jesus. And you can see what happened with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was so, when he came to know Christ, he was convicted of his past. He said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. Why? Because he must have cheated people out of so much money. But he went on even to say further than that, if I have taken anything falsely, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give it back. Imagine that. I was reading yesterday in the paper somewhere about some shopkeepers are now paying. They're paying for rehabilitation to people who are always stealing out of their shops. They can't stop people. There's so many people coming in and stealing. But what a joy it would be whenever a shopkeeper would see you coming in and seeing me coming in and say, now there's somebody, if he carried half the shop out, he would pay for it. He wouldn't take a nut or a bolt without paying for it. That's the way it ought to be, isn't it? This man made things right. He had a new master. He had a new Lord. And what joy there was in his heart. The Lord Jesus came to save. And he saved him. You know, there must have been tremendous wonder and amazement in the city of Jericho. Jesus had stopped and spoken to this man. Zacchaeus. So what did the Lord Jesus come to do? Are you clear about what he came to do? Are you looking, perhaps thinking about somebody that you know maybe down the road, and somebody who's as black a sinner as you could ever think he would do everything he could to harm you? Can that person be saved? Yes, he can. If he comes to Christ, he can be saved. That's what's so wonderful. That's what he came to do. So Nigel Lawson is wrong. He said men and women can't be changed. Well, men and women can be changed. Whenever they come to Christ, he changes. He changes the heart. So what about us today? Isn't it wonderful to think of such a great Savior? Isn't it wonderful to think that we have such a Savior who saves to the uttermost all who come unto him? I often think, you know, if Zacchaeus, of course, he wouldn't have, there were no such thing as the hymns that we were singing, that we sing now, but if he had been watching Jesus going off down the road to his death, going to Jerusalem, I wonder what he would have said. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, and unclean. How could he love me? But he does. He reaches out in love, because that's his work, you see. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a Savior, wonderful Savior, is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you indeed for this wonderful message from your word. And how Zacchaeus, a man despised, met the Lord Jesus. What a change. Lord, may there be those today in our land, those today in this community, that come to Christ and be wonderfully changed and walk the rest of their days trusting in Jesus, following him, for we ask this in his name. Amen. Now our final hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say. Yeah. how may grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each one this day and evermore. Amen.